Welcome back to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut, and every Thursday, you will finally get to chill with us. Hosted by Andrew, we will be bringing on some of the quirkiest, geekiest, leading voices in the personal finance space to give them ample time to talk about their stories, the lessons they have learned over time, and some good advice for all of us. What has aged well? What didn't do so well? Why did they do what they do? So sit back and chill with TFC.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Another very clear memory was they invited my mom to their new house, which is a 5-room flat, right? 5-room is a big thing because we only live in a 3-room flat. And my mom couldn't make it because she had to work. And then my auntie said, you better come, you know, because your lifetime, you may not be able to stay in a 5-room flat. This is your only chance to see what a 5-room flat looked like. So you just understand, it's my growing up age. Every year, Chinese New Year is difficult for us because we have to try to look the part, look successful, look rich, because we are not. Mm. So money to me is something that I have to use to prove so that people don't look down on us. It's a shield.
What feelings do you have about money? What's the story that you're unconsciously telling yourself that's been driving your life and how you manage your money? Following up on our money narrative episode with Play Mula, you can check that out. I've got friends from all over the Financial Coconut Network. I put them in the studio. I get them to start drawing on paper because that's part of the money narrative exercise that I did that will help us dig deeper into our relationship with money. My guests today are all the voices that you're familiar with if you have been listening to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network for a while. Definitely, let's dig into their quirky and geeky minds to learn how they think about money and life. And through this process, they really share insights and stories about how certain narratives have been driving them positively or negatively. Perhaps you will find some of these stories and beliefs about money relatable. Let's find out how different perceptions of money have been affecting us our whole lives and what we can do about it to have more control over our financial situation. My name is Andrew, and this is Chill with the Financial Coconut.
Okay, welcome. Welcome. We are many people in the room today.
Introduce yourselves first.
We'll start off with Eric.
Okay, hi everyone. My name is Eric, Mr. Positivity from Wise and Shine.
Eric from Wise and Shine Show.
And then, I'm Alan from Li Cai Oh Yeah, the Chinese show.
Yes. Thanks for being bilingual. Our other shows. And yes, of course, I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut.
This is like almost all the shows, except for the Stock Geek Out and the Market Update.
They always do their own thing. They never join us. We do fun, right? They're very serious. Everything very serious.
Coconuts.
Control yourself, control yourself.
I mean, we're at the headquarters.
I love coconuts.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Okay, today I want to share an exercise that I did on the show on Chill with TFC. So it was on the Play Mula episode. So you can, you know, if you're listening to this episode right now, you can Google it, check it out, Play Mula. So what Play Mula does is that they do training and education. They work a lot of kids, but they work with adults as well. Mm-hmm. And it's about having a good relationship, a healthy relationship with money, right? So this is one of the many, many programs that they have. I did it on the show also. Yeah. So I drew, I can share whatever did. And so I'm going to share it with you. Okay, and y'all can try it and have some fun. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm not an expert, right? For the full program, you got to experience it with Play Mula. Mm-hmm. But today, let's see where this thing takes us, right? And it's called the Money Narrative Exercise. Ready to draw it.
Serious.
Yes, we need you to draw and as it says, right, money narrative, so it's about your story with money itself. So, all feel comfortable about drawing?
Of
No. That's the reason why I speak, right? It's like, it's
if not, you'll be a painter artist.
Yeah, not, I will be doing
artist.
Those kind of like,
I mean, behind there's a very big pressure.
Later I draw, come out, la. So, I was actually drawing the whole set.
Real life portrait of Epi.
Yes.
Draw us.
So don't have to have that level of pressure. It's whatever feels
no
comfortable
pressure,
for
I
you.
Cannot,
no pressure.
I cannot reach that level.
Just anyhow draw, right? Let it come freely, right? Okay, so we have set out the paper. And so for those of you listening, imagine, so they drew a circle in the middle of this A4 sheet of paper and then with a line in the middle. So you're going to start off on the left side of the paper, right? Without drawing into the circle. So you have some space there, right? You have the left side of the paper. Draw whatever images, whatever, even feelings that comes to mind, right? When you think about money. Now, here's the thing. Use your non-dominant hand.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay.
That'll take a while. Oh, your non-dominant hand is your...
I'm a left-hander. I'm a left-hander. Yeah. 左撇子. Yes, yes.
Left hand already, you know, hard enough. Must switch to the other hand.
Must switch. Okay, all right.
So you can start drawing. Eric is starting already.
Can draw words, That's much easier.
You can have some words. Okay, but let's start drawing first. Yeah, let's not go into the language. Mess around. We have different colored markers.
I'm gonna...
Knock yourself out, have fun.
Hey, why you take my green color? No,
it's like kindergarten.
Go away. Like, 我要take那个 green. 我不要friend你啊. We're no friend anymore. I no friend you. Yes. Wait, is it all kindergarten kids say that? Do y'all used to say that?
Yes, I
no friend you already.
I know friend.
Yeah. He's not within the power of choice.
Right. Yeah, whatever that comes to your mind. Any feelings? Reggie looking for inspiration.
Yeah, inspirasi ada. Inspirasi. Ini sudah inspirasi? Okay, boleh. Yeah, I need to learn Malay properly. I can run for election. I can learn to drink water and then I can change language.
Then you can have a Malay podcast.
So yeah. The Finansi Kelapa. We are recruiting. Please email to hello@thefinancialcoconut.com. Thank you. I'm not joking. Really?
It's tied to what you do. And it so happens that what you do, it's not entirely about money, but a huge part of it is... Okay, all right, good. Now, on the right side of the paper, now you can start using your dominant hand. And now you can write some words. Okay. That's the thing about drawing. I mean, some people take to it very easily and effortlessly, right? Mm. But for me, same thing. Like, I'm so stuck. I'm so confronted that I have to draw. Right. So that was hard for me as well. Mm. Now, on the right side of the paper, write down what may be beliefs or perceptions that we have regarding money, which comes from the left side of the paper. So just now you want to explain, right, Reggie? Right, no need to explain. Use words. Write it down on the right side. Okay. Yeah. Write down beliefs, perceptions, principles, values that you have regarding money, which is giving rise to those feelings that was expressed on the left side. So take a look at whatever you've drawn on the left side. What are some words that come up from there? Some beliefs. Some perspectives on money, some thoughts about money. Could be one word, it could be a statement.
No space, right?
You need more paper?
No. Right, thesis.
Yeah, I'll give it A-star, Eric.
Yay!
Wow.
No sticker.
Sticker.
Yeah, remember the golden sticker?
Serious student. Yeah. Yeah.
The one that you don't want is the see me after class.
See me
after class. It's such a sticker. Huh? So positive.
No. That one is no sticker. It's a teacher, right?
See me.
Okay. Then remember last time, things here, if you get 10 upon 10, got fish. Teacher will chop a fish.
Chop something.
Okay, so we've drawn a lot. We've written down some beliefs and values and perceptions you have regarding money. Now, for the circle that you see in the middle of the paper, right? I want you to identify one or two things that is causing you the most distress or pain. And you can write or you can draw what that looks like. So out of everything you've drawn, right? Pick out one or two themes that stands out most for you and put it into the middle of the paper.
It's a word or two, is it?
Yeah, a word. Or if you want to continue drawing, you can. But go from the angle of what is causing you the most distress or pain regarding money. pick up one or two things. Core things.
Yeah, other than growth stocks are down, is it?
Pain.
Pain, pain. Pain. Pain.
Yeah, it's causing pain. Okay. When you're ready, you can put on your pants. You can hand in your homework.
Hands down. Yeah.
Hands down. Time's up.
The BGM coming.
You can show your...
Tong Shaman.
You can add in.
Yeah, yeah. Must ask the yo-yo come, right? Yo-yo, Lao-sir. Tony Ping, we're waiting for you.
Alright, okay, okay. Let's show your artwork to our... Those who are watching on YouTube. Yeah. Our audience. Right, okay. We'll go one by one. I mean, you've drawn a lot, and there's a lot of things that we can pick up. Mm. But today, let's identify the most outstanding ones for you, right? Mm. So Eric, yeah, since you're closest to me,
okay.
So we look at what you have, and you've written down self-worth, and will it run out in the middle of the paper?
Yeah.
Right? So these two things stand out most for you, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
I mean, when you're asking us to do the exercise, I realized that, you know, during my younger days, money is always an issue, right? Because my dad was a taxi driver, mom was a housewife. And somehow, I realized that we were the poorest among all my cousins. How I know that is because they can always wear branded clothes, like Burberry or that. And usually I wear the hand-me-downs. So I started to notice when I was at 13 that, oh my God, I'm actually like quite poor. And then one day, there was this profound memory I have, which is, my mom actually did a secret job, you know, so that she can afford to buy me a branded shirt so that I can fit in. And I remember it was a Burberry shirt. So I went to my grandma's house, Chinese New Year. I was very happy, right? Because suddenly I feel like I got worth, you know, because I have a branded shirt on me. And then my auntie saw that shirt and then yanked me over to her. And she looked at the back of the
label.
And she looked shocked and she told my mom, "Wah, real one ah." Then mama said, "Of course, real one." Then she said, "Let me give you advice. Poor people will always be poor. Don't try to act rich. Let your poor son wear this branded shirt. Now this branded shirt also look fake." Obviously, I was like shocked, 13 years old. I didn't know how to react. And I look at my mom for reference and she was just smiling, like trying to take the advice, you know. And I remember that night, I woke up suddenly because someone was crying and turned out it was my mom and she was talking to my dad. And I will never forget what she said to my dad. You know, she said that, you know, we get looked down upon, it's already very bad. Now our children also get looked down upon. Like no matter how hard I try, people will always look down on us because we are poor. And that was something that till today, even saying it, even sharing it, you know, is this a wound, you know. And I remember at 13 years old, that was the very moment where I make a promise to myself that I will never ever let anybody look down on me. So I always associate money as a way to make sure that people don't look down on you. Because that was the first time when I suddenly see the value of money.
Mm-hmm. And you tie that to self-worth.
To self-worth, yeah. Because we have no money, that's why people look down on us. You know, my dad is just a primary six kid. You know, he didn't even pass his PSLE. We have very little money. And I remember that because our relatives all have more money, they have a lot of say in things. So like my uncle will take us out for trips, you know. As a kid, I would be very happy. Wow, I see my uncle so nice, take me for trips. But it makes my parents look horrible because they will always side-talk my dad. See, I bring your son, buy this, buy that. And then, you know, I didn't know that until much later that I realized that, you know, there's no free lunch. You know, all your uncles treat you nice, but your parents would just feel shit. Another very clear memory was they invited my mom to their new house, which is a 5-room flat, right? 5-room is a big thing because we only live in a 3-room flat. And my mom couldn't make it because she had to work. And then my auntie said, "You better come, you know, because your lifetime, you may not be able to stay in a 5-room flat. This is your only chance to see what a 5-room flat looked like." So you just understand, this is my growing up age. Every year, Chinese New Year is difficult for us because we have to try to look the part, look successful, look rich, because we are not. So money to me is something that I have to use to prove so that people don't look down on us. It's a shield.
How do you see that driving you though?
Oh, it drove me very, very hard. It drove me very hard for a very long time. I wanted to make a lot of money. But you see, the funny thing is that it's a push and pull, right? You want to make a lot of money because you want people not to look down on you. But for a very big part of your life, you will always be looked down upon. So you never think that you deserve the money. So I never be able to make that money. It was until many, many years later, I met a coach, a life coach, who helped me see that connection. That until I see myself worthy, I will never be able to attract things in my life. That was the turning point. If not, I always aspire to be rich, but never rich.
So in other words, Eric now quite rich, huh?
Work in progress. That's an inference. Work in progress.
Actually, on progress. That point, I mean, we don't know your net worth, but you're doing so much better than you were back then, right? When you were growing up. Yeah. So, how do you view money right now? Given that you have more resources,
I think it's still, you know, there's always demons in the closet. It's always going to be there. That wound, you might hear it, but you know, every level you will worry. Like, you know, now, yeah, sure, you make 10K a month, let's say, right? But now you also worry, can I deserve more?
And I also have another conversation in my head is, will it run out? Like, yeah. Because you never think you're deserving of all this money. Yeah, so this is always the primary conversation. Yeah, and I feel that it all started from childhood.
Which is what you wrote, will it run out?
Exactly.
For the second part. I mean, realistically, you've already solved the resource issue about money. You've made enough, right?
Yeah.
Right? You can go back to your auntie and really...
You got anything you want to say to auntie?
Anything else you want to say to auntie?
Auntie, 我有东西要跟你讲.
Already lost. We broke contact with them like very long
time. Okay, then you can say it already.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I have a special guest, Eric's auntie.
I think it's too much Taiwanese.
This is a good episode, right?
Then auntie will cry.
Then you must go into the forgiveness.
That would
be very
dramatic. Then she pulled me and say, "You're wearing
a But you got something to tell her?
No, I've always, I mean, it's already forgiven.
Right.
Looking back, I actually, you know, I mean, it's nice to say this now, right? That if not for her saying what she said, and I don't think she said out of meanness, but she said out, maybe in her world, that was really her reality. But it was impactful enough for me to want to make a promise to be better. Because I remember back then, I have no reason to be successful, right? There's no concept of that.
What was your relationship with money right now?
I have two sides. The bright side is, which is something that I have to keep reinforcing, is that money is value. That whatever money that I can attract is because of the value I give in the world. Yet what I have to fight is my self-worth, which is always a primary conversation, which is, am I worthy enough or not? So I notice myself, like every level when I go, when good things happen in my life, there's always that conversation, which is, are you really worthy enough to be all these things?
It doesn't really go away, right?
It doesn't go away. It's just there, you know? But it's just that you're aware of it. But at moments of weakness, when you have self-doubt, or when you see everybody doing better than you at your level, then that thing start coming again. And it's a very vicious cycle.
Mm. So let's say we give you a rating, right? About your feelings towards money. 1 to 10, right? Yeah. 1 is most destructive and 10 is most life-giving. It enriches you.
So I would say definitely I'm at an 8. I won't give 10 because I always think that's work in progress, but I've seen how money has allowed me to retire my family, my parents. I've seen how money could actually solve a lot of problems.
Yes.
So money is important and I start to see that. But the negative part is always about the whether am I worthy or not. So you see, it's always a me conversation. Money is just a tool, you see. But if you keep thinking that you're not worthy, right, then money also go away, right? Like if you have a girlfriend and you keep asking your girlfriend, am I worthy or not? Am I good enough for you? You keep asking that, even a girlfriend who loves you after a while would disrespect you because like, you have to need so much assurance. Mm. So I see that as money as well, like dating at it. Mm-hmm. You need to be confident and you need to see money as a tool. Because I believe money wants to be used for good. And so when you're confident, you will it, money comes to be used. It's energy, you see.
All right.
Yeah.
Any response to Eric sharing?
I feel that energy.
he is like already Zen master.
Zen master already. But I know what you're saying. I've been through some stuff. But I feel like I'm less triggered by those things. You know, like, it feels like you still have a lot of energy there, right? For me, I already 升天 already. No, I just feel like I've gone through a period of healing to get to a point where I don't feel that much about those things. You know, sometimes, I still see, you know, like I wrote here comparison, right? Like sometimes on social media, like, I look at my friends, it's like, you know, wow, anyhow do like that, also can like that, right? You know? So sometimes I will still feel that kind of pressure to compare. And then every day I work until I want to die like that, you know? But when I think about this, I can make a choice if I want to, right? So I can pack up the whole setup and I just work with an organization. I'm well superior to a lot of what people can do. But the reality is actively, there's still some level of comparison when I see those things, right? But day to day, it doesn't bother me. It's just sometimes on social media, it's like, wow, you know, like that. Mm. You know, but it's not like every day I feel it or every day I feel the... You know what I mean? Like, it's not an active thing, but, you know, it's... So
it's not something in your foreground that you're thinking about.
I don't really care about it, you know? But when I see this, sometimes I still feel it. Yeah, but it's more settled in that sense, So I don't feel the need to like fight for my self-worth or like, you know, like how the world values me. But if you're my sponsor, pay me a bit more, I'm very happy lah, right? Because we need to feed the team, right? Pay us a little bit more, I'm very happy. But other than that, it's not that much. But I kind of know where it comes from because I do come from a background that is quite tethered, right? Like I think I wrote here like, money, pay money. I don't know, you guys remember.
Perhaps we can look at Reggie's one.
Yeah. You see this?
You wrote comparison. person and you explained it, and then oh, your drawing was owe money, pay money.
I think my family had gone through some of these episodes, right? So, which also anchors why I'm relatively dissociated with the family. I say this openly, right? Even on my content and everything, like, we're not very close. I feel like it's not a very safe space to be, you know? So I go through this process of dissociating to then be able to like kind of build my own space. But in on some level, like sometimes it's at the back. One day I need to kill this lantanzi. You know what I mean? Like one day I am expecting that, you know, I will need to come in and like clean up this mess. You know, but at this point in time, I'm quite dissociated from them, right? So when I look at the parameter of myself, it's okay. You know, but these things of like bad financial decisions or like excessive consumption and gambling and all these things, right? They amount to a shit waiting to be cleared somewhere. You know, or it always feels like this thing never ends. But on some level, I think in my head, I've kind of segmented out. You know, me is me, you is you. One day, I may want to be the xiaozi and come back and sort it out. But if so, I don't want, then it is you. You know, we don't need to be too associated. I know in the mainstream view, this is like a bit, you know, like male family value. MediaCorp will not sponsor this.
It really depends on your family.
Yeah. But for me, it's more like, yeah, everybody has their own things to solve, their own shit to solve. And yeah, growing up, this was quite a, I won't say regular, but recurring situation, right? Like I will see this out there, I mean, a few times. Yeah, so
there's a money narrative around that, right? I mean, having grown up
for,
in this
For a long period of time. But I think over the past 5-6 years, as I traveled around, I dissociated with the space that I was in, I can kind of heal up from all these things to recognize that this is their choices, not my choices, right? So I don't need to care about these things if I don't participate in the choices that they do, right? Which is why for one of the manifestation was for the longest time, I didn't have a credit card because that was one of the bigger problems out there, right? And I've heard a lot of horror stories, right? So it took me a long time before I even wanted to talk about credit card on the show. For a long time, then I got sponsor lah. Yeah. A sponsor, can you talk about this? Oh, okay. Sure. But to be clear, I went through that whole process of like, you know, thinking about how these things work and recognizing that it's a tool. It depends on how I use it, right?
Did you find yourself consciously avoiding credit cards as a
no. Okay. So no more already. I mean, there was probably a period of time, but now it's like, yeah. So as I do content every week, it's also a lot of like a self-talk to kind of go through some of these things, right? And as I talk to more people, I get more perspective. Sometimes we get locked in our own head, right? So I think some of these things in the process of doing TFC also, I kind of unwind some of these ideas, you know, with all the experts and just kind of get their perspective. May not be that they are, I'm wrong, they're right or something like that, right? But it's just absorbing different perspective. And that definitely helped me get to a better position with like debt, and like credit, like I feel more comfortable with the idea of having it, you know. It's not so scary, lor. So I feel like it doesn't affect me
as much.
Yeah. But you know, like it took a while, you know, to get here. I think and I think that's a big part of like unraveling the narrative. I don't know, is that how it works? Yeah.
I'm curious. So below comparison, what did you write?
Family finances. Yeah. So like I said, that's the big shit at the back, right? So is this whole thing that I am blocking out? Like I know I'm blocking this whole thing out, that I don't really want to care about it. Like you do you, me do me. I solve my own things first. Okay. You know, and maybe one day I will solve your things. Maybe I will not. It gets a little bit touchy, but it's along those lines there. So whether or not I want to take it up and, you know, do more and fill up the gap, that's me.
You know, you have this clutter that you have to clear.
There's this storeroom. Yeah, like my living quarters are beautiful, but there's this storeroom, you know, it's there, right? If I open it up, woohoo! It's Yeah, and I mean, sometimes, you know, relatives, they talk. So I hear some stories here and there, right? But they very respect me, of course, I'm number one here, right? Number one financial podcaster, right? So it's very cute one because time before TFC, nobody thinks I know shit. So they think I hobo around, you know, that, which is kind of true, like I hobo around because I keep failing, right? And now people ask me, hey, so what are your thoughts on this? I was like, sorry, 吃力不讨好, I'm not going to tell you. It's like, I'm not going to give you any advice because, you know, if things don't go well, then it's you, right? So yeah, sometimes, sorry, my Xiao Yi. Sometimes she texts me, what you think of this? I was like,
ladies and gentlemen, we have the Xiao Yi. Yes,
the magical
the door opened and then Xiao Yi comes. Yeah. And then, what, you want to tell her? And then the closet opened also. Oh, shit, oh.
Everything comes out.
Come in.
Sweat, yeah.
The loan shark back then.
Wow. This matter don't go out before Chinese New Year. But it's some of that, lah. Yeah, it was. Today's episode was great. It's great.
Yeah,
great. But
surprise there.
But yeah, it's some of these things. And I mean, as we talk, I also feel some energy here and there about it. It's there. It's just not actively bothering. You know what I mean? So there's like my mind has built a wall to help me to kind of continue moving. Yeah, that's why I call it a storm. You know what I mean? Like it's stored. I know it's there. If we talk about it, I feel it.
Yeah.
If we don't talk about it, then it's I'm just day to day. Just you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's something like that, lah. Yeah.
But you have the awareness that it's there. It's not like you're avoiding it.
Yes. No, I'm not
keeping
it under
lock
and
key. Just don't want to look at it.
Yeah. The door cannot close already, so I don't know can lock. Lah. I'm saying, what, like oozing out on this thing? Right? So it's something like that. So I'm not running away from the reality, and I think that's a big part of how a lot of people struggle with money narratives because. You know, it's kind of there, but you don't address it, right? Or we don't recognize
it.
And we avoid it. And the thing is, I recognize it without a solution. You know what I mean? Like I recognize this exists. I recognize that this is how I look at this. This is how I'm experiencing it. But I don't have a clear solution to say that, oh, I'm going to do this. Mm. Or I'm going to change out of this. You know, I don't have a way out directly. But I don't feel the need to avoid the existence of it. Does it make sense?
Yeah, because the thing about family is sometimes there's no solution.
Yeah, you cannot choose one.
You don't have to choose your family.
Unless you believe in the Lunhui thing, right? Then it's like, oh, namaste. You know, this, I'm here to
and also because
get
of
my karma
values,
or something.
Right? Expect that regardless of how your family is like, you are expected to be there for your family.
Yeah, which is why...
And that adds extra pressure.
Yes. Which is why, you know, when I said that, you know, I also want to put it out there that, you know, you don't need to cancel me, right? Because this is how I look at things, and you have your own perspective of how you look at things and your world. You can just put it in the comment section, like, share, subscribe. Thank you. but it is along those lines, that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. In order to get to where you're at, you mentioned you went through some healing, right? And one of the things you did was to think about it and have some clarity on it. Could you share with us, what else do you do to go through the healing?
So I think one important part is to shift out of the rubbish dump.
Okay.
Right? So
physically,
hello. You really think I stayed the rubbish dump? Metaphorical rubbish dump, okay? Metaphorical rubbish dump. Control yourself.
You say you hobo, ma.
Isn't that one?
We're going there. Yes.
Oh, but sometimes you have to manually extract yourself from the situation.
Yes. You don't need to stay in the rubbish dump, okay? Yeah. But the idea is there's a lot of mess in this place that you live in. You know, maybe let's say your home, right? So I think a lot of the money narrative kind of things, right? It stems from childhood, stems from where you come from. So a big part of the struggle that I think a lot of Singaporeans have is to move out. Once you move out, right, you realize that you have to readdress a lot of these things, right? And you have to answer a lot of small little things. Down to the level of, should I put the soap on the left of the sink or the right of the sink, right? So it's like small little things that every day I have to question and ask myself. And I think that whole process was quite helpful in that sense. I also did a few sessions of therapy, but really expensive. At that point in time, I cannot afford.
Okay, right? It's talk therapy, right? You talk to...
Art therapy. The art therapy is amazing. Esther, shout out to you, Esther. Mm. Right, she's amazing. Like, draw. Then after that, she just say a little bit of thing that I'm like, boom, ready, you know? Yeah. So that was amazing. Yeah, so there was some of that. I read some books. But I took some time to do it. Right? I wasn't as thoughtful of I need to solve it now. You know what I mean? So it was more as things happened. Like recently, there was a revelation that also came out in my head. It's like, oh yeah, last time, you know, I was part of this scam, right? And then for a very long period of time, I was avoidant of the reality that actually I really hate that guys. You know, so I was like, okay lah, I rationalize it away. You know, it's fine. But there was this one day I was just sitting down playing my cat. I was like, yeah, these people really fuck up my lives. But it wasn't I want to attack them or something. It was just more like a revelation that just come up. I don't know if you guys have those kind of episodes. You know, like you're doing something quite fun, quite enjoyable. Then these things suddenly just come up. Then you'll be like, oh, hi. Then I'm feeling. And I think I feel like a big part of it is because I felt safer and safer. When you feel safer, a lot of these things that you bury will come out. They will surface, right? Because you no longer need to keep holding them or building that wall to block. So there's some of these revelations that do come out over time, lor. And I may not have an answer to all of them. Like, I don't have a solution. But just the very fact that I recognize that they exist and they still are a part of me in that sense, right? It doesn't dictate my life in that sense, lah.
Okay. Now that Eric and Reggie have both shared, we all can focus our attention on Alan.
Stress. No, but I'm taking in a lot of what you say, and I think bits and pieces is still part of my childhood also. So my dad always tell me one thing, don't lend people money. That's all I remember what he taught me about money. I think money create a lot of troubles for my family. I think when I was very young, so my dad has a quarrel with my aunt because of money. My first uncle, so he have this HDB flat. So that time we were eating zi cha, you know. So I was very young. I was eating zi cha. So there are quarrel about this flat should go to who? My dad or them? So there are quarrel lah. So that time it was quite bad. Yeah, and my aunt, because her side, her family is doing very well. Yeah, two aunt, you know, the son is a pilot, one is a very prominent DJ now. So all these things, I think, did sit on me to try to, you know, get success fast. You know, you think that, oh, money is everything. I think that's what I will, like, money is everything.
Money is everything.
Yeah, it's like that time, you know, because my mom is poor, so she also looked down by my aunt. So all these things bring a lot of, like, negative things to the family, lor. So I think that time I want success quite fast. I think that's why I got into the scam with you also. You know, that's where I met, right?
That's how we met. Yeah. We had a pass.
We had a pass.
When you get a scam artist out.
Welcome
to control yourself.
That's enough.
Yeah. Big production. That one is a big production. Okay. Next time, right? Yeah.
Come see Lila.
Right. Someday. We'll do that.
Yeah. So before I met them, I think I was studying IT. Then after poly, I joined that. But I will not say I really hate them. Actually, they did change my perspective. The problem is after that, I stopped uni. So I tried to prove myself very hard. So, you know, when you're trying to explore, you don't have much cash, you know. So my sister will sometimes come talk to me, which is a kind of trigger.
Unsolicited advice.
No, unsolicited. It's like, I want to see you. Oh. Those kind. Then got one time I cried. I really cannot take it.
So I younger sister.
Both. So both of them thought it's like because like that you cannot like just come to tell me and suddenly like tell me I want to talk to you. You must let me get ready. You know, say hey, we're gonna have this conversation. Cause it happened quite a few times. The first time is when I dropped off for uni. Yep. So we had a whole family talk. After that, I think a few times with my sister. So that period is still exploring. So it's all this thing that create all this like you know. I want success fast that time. Then after that, there's a period I also heal a bit. After that, I think my mom came to me. He said, can you just stop whatever you're doing? Yeah, so that time I went to depression. I think it was before Chinese New Year. And that time I was very scared to go to Chinese New Year. Right, it's like just before Chinese New Year. Then I don't know how I'm going to face my sister. Because my sister talked to me, I think, a few weeks before my mom. So it's a continuous thing. Yeah. So after that, I also view that I also need a basic of finance to really like support myself, to also show them that I can take care of myself.
Right. Yeah.
So from then on, I work a bit, save up a bit, telling myself that money is everything, but not everything is that one thing. That's how I change. It's not like everything resolves about it, but that is something you need for survival.
So when you talk about money, you think about the images of people quarreling, your dad telling you, don't lend people money.
Don't lend people money.
And that has somehow created a character trait in you that is very driven, right? You wanted success quickly.
Yes.
And therefore you went to the scam and all these things. So much yes. So to the extent that you know your family is concerned about you.
Yeah.
They're wondering what you're doing.
Yes, right. Yes. So I think now it has been a lot better. Now because I start my this cafe business, it's still small. It's something that done out of, I love board games, so that's why I started a board game cafe. However, I think my parents now tends to see in a more positive light. My sister also supports me a lot more. Because at least I'm doing something more proper.
Yeah, gaming on the table at Yishun Safra Sonic Bowl. Yes, that means what she does, okay? Everyone asks me to give names these days. Okay, you can send me 生辰八字, okay? I offer a service.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think along the way, I think Reggie as a friend also helped me figure out a bit more. Because having a friend that's financially quite savvy, I think it's very good. to get advice on, you know, to help you see things in a different perspective, you know, to open up more, to accept all these things are more present. I think it's very important to see the reality that, you know, you still need money, but it's not everything is that one thing.
Yeah. Because it's quite scary when you look from the lens of money is everything.
Yes.
Or money is the one thing. And then everything is linked to money.
Yes.
But I think money is like oxygen, you know. It's like when it's there, you don't notice it. But when it's not there, that's when you realize that your life and death depends on it. So I will say that it's important for all of us to have a more positive relationship to money. As all of you realize, all of us have kind of a negative relationship to money at the beginning.
Yes.
And we went through a process to help us have a more positive relationship. And once we have that positive relationship, then we'll start to be able to attract.
Yeah.
Because your body or your mind will never let you attract things that you think is bad for you. Yeah. So until you have a positive relationship, then you start to realize, hey, actually, money start coming to me. And then now it becomes oxygen. You don't think too much about it. It works in a background.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, like I wrote it here also, right? Like,
I think I wrote it here.
I think I got 2 points here that I thought was...
Right.
I mean, I want to share. Like, one is money provides stability and consistency for my life.
Mm.
I think that's very important because, you know, when I was not so stable, don't have money, right? You know, these days people talk about budgeting and like simplifying your life and minimalist. So I was like, yeah, I'm minimalist because I got no money. So I'm very sustainable because I have no money to buy new things. So I use until become kiam tsai, right? But as I develop in my finances, I didn't really change out of that way of life. So that is interesting. But a lot of people all hail minimalism, all hail, you know, sustainability. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they look at me and say, oh, you're very sustainable. So I didn't do it as a moral choice.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a moral high ground. So, oh yeah, the world needs me. No, mayo. It's like, I just broke lah. But as I develop, as I started to like have more stable income, you know, like more sponsors, thank you. It becomes that I can build a life consistently. Consistent, stability. And when things are consistent and stable, they tend to grow. It's like you plant trees. I mean, I'm quite a green finger, right? So I plant things and if you just be consistent with them, you water them, you let it do it, it will grow, right? As long as there's no big winds and nothing, right? So I think that's a big part of how I look at money today. Another thing I think important to me, money brings people together. Now, of course, all sorts of people, depending on how you allocate this money. Cai san ren ju, right? Cai ju ren san, right? Or something like that. I don't know if you guys heard of this. It's a Chinese idea where if you consolidate the money, the people will leave. Right? If you let the money go out, people come. Right, because it's like fish, right? As long as there's resources somewhere, you will attract people, right? So to me, as I build the network, as I build the shows, a lot of the money that I try to bring in is so that we can do more shows, do more content, right? Because I think that may never exist on mainstream media, that can potentially live on social media, that can potentially, you know, influence a lot of people's lives, require us to find the money, right? To do it, right? Whether it's a sponsor, whether it's subscription, wherever money is coming from, it needs to exist. Right, and if we cannot bring in the numbers, then we cannot bring the people. Then we cannot do the shows that we want to do. So I think that's kind of how I look at money today. Right, so there's my personal expenses, and then there's also the company expenses, and you know, bringing the money into the company and doing more of those things. I think that's kind of where I enjoy it.
Though money is not everything, but it's not nothing, right? It's like oxygen, right? Yeah, you need money to run the show, to do the things that are interesting and fun
for
you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
No money, a lot of shows cannot continue. Very taotian, yes.
Yeah. So that's the importance of it. Well, for Alan's second statement, actually, it's kind of similar to what Eric wrote as well.
It's more of like fear of having nothing. I think this has always been at the back of your mind. It's very hard to ignore it. It's like one day...
Until you live with nothing.
Yeah.
I've lived with nothing for a few years, right? Or pretty much nothing. Like you know, I used to run a tea house. A lot of people know I used to run a tea house. And I went to the level of just sleeping in the tea house because I couldn't even afford to transport. Or you know, it was a choice between like transport or like makan, you know, that kind of thing. So prolonged period of living like that is probably not very healthy. You know, it affects your mind on many, many levels. But once you kind of live through a situation where you don't really have much, if you don't revenge this life, that means you don't try to like come back and say, you know, I wasted all this, I want to like pick it back up, right? Actually, I found quite comfort in not having a lot. I don't know if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. It's like entrepreneur life, right? Like if we can
entrepreneur
live,
look very glam, right? Yeah. But very jialat one. Financially very healthy.
The security comes when, what is true wealth is that, you know, even if you are zero again, you can still start again. Because it's the mindset. So that's why I realized that I've been through bankruptcy or near bankruptcy in a business. And once you experience the pit bottom, right, of, so this is what is it like to have no money. And then when you look back, you realize, hey, but there's still love, there's still happiness, it's not the end of the world. Then you have a lot more confidence to take risks, you have more confidence to grow faster, because you know that what's the worst that could happen is you go back to that same chapter again, but you made it. And sometimes but we just need to go through that.
I will not enjoy
going back. I will not wish
back
for people.
Yes.
But I would want that we go through that when we are younger. I'm glad, you know, like I had a mentor, I shared my story and he said, Eric, you're lucky, you're 40 now, you go through it when you're in your 30s. You know,
I thought you're 25 only.
I love this vibe here. So self-affirming, right?
So he's
50. He said to me that it's always good to go through all these shit times when you're younger because you have more time. Time is an asset.
That's interesting because my experience with that was I've gone through a period of time when I was low on money as well. And my experience from that was I never want to go back to that state again. But I have this interesting conversation with a friend and her experience was her business failed. Same thing. Went through a period of time with very little money in her bank account. So we went through the same experience, right? But her takeaway from it was that, you know, Andrew, if I were to be broke again, I know I can survive it. So that's the difference between me and her. Like, I'm scared to go back there. But she's like, you know, if I have the same situation, I can go through it. Yeah. I've been through it before. No. So that's when I realized, that's different perspective.
Yes. No, but I will argue that that's not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Like, I know I can do it. Like, Lao Niang know what can survive, right? Like, I can do it again, right? Wu Zetian music. I can do it if I want to, right? But will I be like, I wouldn't want to. I will still be afraid. I will still be like, you know, but I know that despite all the fear and the anguish and all the rubbish that I will experience if I get into such a situation again, I have deep down a confidence that once these emotions settle down, I can rise up again.
You're fine.
I mean, they can both exist at the same time. In my worldview.
So that change in perspective was very revealing for me. It taught me something.
Great.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And so, because we have different narratives, and thank you for sharing. I mean, this is personal. Appreciate it. And we see that, you know, sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's about scarcity, but there are ways to turn it. All of you have done some work on yourself to get to where you're at. Right. So how do you think this money narrative can lead you to lead a more flourishing life from this point onwards? Because, like, for example, Eric says, you know, that's still in you, right? You've done a lot of work on yourself, but that still exists at some level. Right. So what do you think, what's next? It doesn't never really go away, right?
No, I just think that it's always going to be part and parcel of your story, right? But the narrative have to evolve with times. Like, you have to ask yourself, so this narrative of, I want to make a lot of money, I want to make my parents proud, serve me in my 30s, but it's not going to serve me in my 40s and 50s, especially when my parents are not around anymore, then that narrative has no more value. And every narrative have its power. So this narrative allowed me to at least start a business. But if I want to be like an Elon Musk, I want to like really make big impact, that narrative is not powerful enough. I need to set a bigger narrative.
Don't be. Control yourself.
So, but the point is that don't judge the narrative, but be aware that you have a narrative and that you know what that narrative is, and then ask yourself, how far can this narrative take you?
And there are different seasons.
Right. And every narrative can serve you to a certain distance, but there's always consequences. For example, like if you have a comparison narrative, which is, I want to make more money than a person, that's very good because that competitiveness is what makes you go better. But the minute you're number one already, right, then you are alone because you have no one else to compete. Or as you're competing, it affects your mental wellness because it eats into you when you're always number two. So just understand that narrative can serve you. It can also deter you. You just got to pick and choose whether you want it.
Comes with a cost.
There's always a cost.
Yeah. So riding on this point, right, Alan, what's your current season right now in terms of money? And what do you think is next?
I think I also have this compare. I mean, social media is a thing now. You tend to compare. So I always tell myself that everybody is at different part of their life.
Yes.
Yeah, some people can run faster, but you just run a bit slower. It's okay. Yeah, it's that you don't need to spring to reach that person. Everybody have their own limitation at that moment. There's so much you can know at that point. Maybe that's the best you really can do. Right, so you need another breakthrough or something. Maybe that person, he can run that far, but he went through a lot. You don't know what that person really went through. So that's what how I used to like tell myself for now, like, no point comparing. You know, you have your own journey. For money-wise, I think I still now still quite thrifty because I don't spend as much. Last time also.
Now it's no energy to spend.
Yeah. Every day no at energy. The
cafe, busy with
work. Yeah, busy with work, yes.
Yeah, buy supply.
You got strategy to buy Lazada, cheap, everything. It's like, wow, very cool. Can teach you all next time, huh? Yes, TikTok shots.
I mean, when you see, compare prices, like, why this person gets so expensive? I think I can get cheaper. Then you hear, get tips and tricks for everybody. You try to, you know, do the most that you can. Mm. I think that's what I'm trying to do for now.
Reggie. You're narrating your season.
Season, I think at this point in time, the season is to make the company work, like make the business work, because I think now it's a down cycle for the broader sector. Mm-hmm. So a lot of advertisers have pulled plugs, we have had many projects that closed. So shout out to you guys. Huh? You ready? You know, we can start again. So yeah, mostly it's that part because I realized that it hinges on a lot of other things that I want to achieve. Right? Whether is it doing more shows, building a bigger team, just raising the voice of people that matters, you know, and of course also live a more abundant life, right? Like we were just talking about inflating lifestyle, right? To me, it's like nothing wrong with inflating. I want to inflate my lifestyle, right? I want to get a bit more comfortable. I think I'm at a position where I feel comfortable to want to do a bit of lifestyle inflation. So yeah, I think that's kind of where I am. And it all ties back down to the success of the company, right? So success of the company would then tie back down to the number of viewers and listeners, right? So like, share, subscribe. Right? Yes.
But it's very true that we, in terms of advertising, I mean, Google and Facebook advertising is also down. Right? Yeah, I mean, this is a season.
Yeah.
We talk about seasons, right? Now it's winter.
Yeah,
but if you get through winter to... spring, right?
Yeah.
So same goes with your money
narrative. Same goes, yes.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Oh, just the whole process. I mean, it's just one part of whatever Play Mula does. Oh, okay. Yeah, of course, they have pre-work to get you ready to start drawing all that because, you know, it can be confrontational for some people.
Yeah. Right? It does. I mean, even just now when I was sharing, I can feel the energy. Like,
I can feel.
It's like therapy, right?
Yeah. It's true. It's like the music played at Lao Baksai, you know? Then Liu Ling Ling come out, right? Well, this show very big production.
Budget so high.
Post-produce one.
But it takes a certain kind of vulnerability to get to it. So there's pre-work and then there's post-work as well. It doesn't end here. After that, you must unravel your money narrative and bring you to a better season in your life. So for the whole process, you can check out Play Mula and check out the Play Mula episode that I did with them as well.
Super cool. Great.
Right. Yeah.
Do you have fun?
Very fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amazing.